I heard a story about a staffing company in the Middle East that needed to hire 10,000 workers a day. This is an extreme situation, but I feel like every hiring manager can probably relate. The volume of applications is just so much more than any person team can handle. And I felt like I saw a few stories about the job market and AI that I wanted to kind of weave together. And so today I'm going to cover a few stories that I think will help us kind of imagine what the future of hiring and the job market's going to look like. I'm Josh Levine, a transformation executive helping teams learn to use AI together. I've spent the last 20 years paying attention to how work actually works, technology, culture, incentives, and the stories we tell ourselves about capitalism doing what it's supposed to do. This is the audio version of my Substack, which you should go and subscribe to, joshlevine.substack.com, working out in real time how AI is changing how we look for and do work, and maybe eventually what to do about it. This is the Job Shit Show. Is AI changing hiring for better or worse? Yes, it's Schrodinger's job market. So, as I've covered previously, and probably as many of you know or have at least heard, that companies are now seeing nearly three times as many applicants for entry-level positions as in 2022. So any hiring manager with an open role and an inbox has too many applications. They just can't go through them all. And I don't think that is going to change anytime soon. There's more people looking for work than work is available. That's probably going to be the condition that we will continue to see through this transition into kind of a more AI dense economy. And so the question we need to ask, we're moving from how do we find the right person, right? That was the kind of question that hiring managers have always asked, to how do we even see the right person with that kind of volume? And up until now, I feel like we have been using AI in the wrong way. So that's my kind of general thesis about where we are with AI, which is we're using AI, this new technology, to do old things. And that is, in fact, what is happening right now in hiring, too, where we're just getting lots of applications and, or companies are, I'm not, companies are, and they're using AI to sort through these resumes. What story one is that I got to have a conversation with a gentleman who is leading a large project for one of the major tech companies that is all about building a new AI-driven hiring tool. And it is really meant for extreme high volume hiring, like the 10,000 a person, 10,000 people a day hiring situation. And I thought it was a really interesting perspective, and one that aligns with what I've talked about, which is resumes just suck, right? So he reflected back to me that, yeah, resumes are just, they're just pieces of paper. We're not hiring the resume, we're hiring the people. And so what this product does is it allows for organizations to essentially skip the resume and just go right into an AI hosted interview. So everybody gets to express themselves and everybody gets to talk and answer questions. And there's a lot of information that can be done, a lot of thing data that can be collected, a lot of these rubrics. One of the arguments that he made, which I thought was pretty good, right? Which is that AI is consistent, right? So a human recruiter is going to do, if they're doing 10 interviews a day, you have the recency and the primacy effect. You have, the amount of energy. So at 9 a.m., are you going to be as sharp at 4 p.m. as you are at 9 a.m.? Of course, you're just not going to get the same quality. And so it can ask everybody the same question. And I think that could, done well, I think that could be deployed broadly speaking. One caveat, which I thought was interesting, is the way that he described giving organizations or giving people, telling organizations that might use this product, that they can give the people that are being hired the option, would you like to be interviewed by an AI? And you can do it sooner and quicker. So I have talked previously about what AI hiring, the problems with it, but I thought this was actually a really good use case. The second story that I saw, well, a listener sent in this, or sent over this link to a study from Stanford's Institute of Human-Centered Artificial Intelligence, which is a research body focused on developing AI that benefits people, technical, and they do it with research and policy, ethics, education, public impact in mind. And they did this research. Essentially, what they were doing was attempting to understand if there are any biases in AI screening. And because 90% of US employers now use AI screening tools, and most are relying on the same third-party vendors. So, for example, over 60% of the Fortune 100 use HireVue's algorithms. When a hiring algorithm from a single vendor is the mediator, making some of guiding and even making hiring decisions at an extreme scale, then essentially what we have is this algorithmic monoculture, right? It's not your imagination. The big finding, there was a couple of interesting things, but the big finding was that if you were rejected at one company for a role and you applied at another company that was using the same algorithm, you were more likely to be rejected. And they found that 26% of Black applicants and 15% of Asian applicants applied to positions where AI discriminated against their racial group. And the idea that computers are good at scale should be questioned, right? In the first situation, that's a great use of it. But if it's not done well, then it is a problem, right? That bias is going to be everywhere. They at the Stanford Institute of Human-Centered Artificial Intelligence recommends at the end, or suggests, there needs to be some policy that actually forces these algorithms, these companies, to really expose more of their data, but also fix some of these biases that are going to show up. One of the other elements that was really interesting about this was they describe how hard it was to find this information, and that all previous data was actually didn't show this, because it was when you do kind of a longitudinal, or you're looking at all the data together collectively, it actually you don't see those biases. So they had to do their selection, they had to do their data analysis by job, and that's how they found those rejections and that pattern. And that is really, I think, a compelling case for opening up the data and hopefully improving that. So obviously that's not something that we want. The third point that I want to make, and the third piece that I saw, was a fellow Substacker who writes on job postings. And he was advising and told some stories about folks that were going outside the process, let's call it. And before I tell you what that was and what he was advising, which I think was really smart, I will just say that when an applicant does not feel like they are getting that their application is being treated equally, if they think it's arbitrary, if they lose faith in the system, they're going to look for ways around it. We talked about apps and people willing to use apps that allow them to cheat on coding interviews, live coding interviews. That was when we talked about AI interviewers. So that's one example. The other example that this newsletter shared was that he was in fact suggesting, just because we can now build apps, just build something for the company, the person, the team that you want to work for. Actually do something, create something of value. Pretty smart. I think that's really interesting. If you are want to work for a video search or a video, production agency, a streaming service, if you create a small app that solves one of their problems about filtering through certain video metadata or something like that, and you actually just say, hey, I did this, look at this, this is the kind of work I can do, the kind of thinking I can do, they're going to show up and they're going to say, there, that's how they make themselves known. That's the difference. And I think that's pretty smart. But either way, I'm not. I have my personal judgments about, how to use AI and what constitutes cheating, but that's not the point I'm making. The point that I'm making is that if people don't trust the process, if there's a process that people don't trust, and it becomes a process people gain. I'll say it again. If it's a process that people don't trust, it will become a process that people gain. And a process that people gain stops working for everyone, candidates and employers. Again, I think that we are in a new era. We're in a new moment where there are so many people applying for so many jobs, and there's just so much work to do. AI is speeding things up. And I think that there could very well be a gap that AI can fill, like my colleague at this big tech firm, creating this. Solving this problem of skipping over the resumes and actually creating a more fair process, one might argue. And when you're scaling this kind of project, it is ripe for and open to systemic biases, systemic problems. At the very kind of root of this whole vision, kind of sketch, is what I would argue is the necessity of the employers, of the hirers, to do a better job of making candidates feel seen, of being transparent with their resume, of making sure that they understand that it is a fair process. Because if not, we're going to see people get creative in good and bad ways. And I just don't think that that is where we should be moving. I think we need a system at scale that is fair, transparent, and clear about expectations and clear about what this person applying is going to be going through and how it's going to be vetted. I don't think there's a problem that AI could vet you. I just think it's important that you explain that that's happening and that people understand how they're going to be seen. How are they going to be judged? The question in the future isn't going to be whether AI should be involved. It's what kind of AI, built by whom, and accountable to who. Nobody's been able to answer that yet. But at least now we have some stories that are getting out in the world that allow people to ask the kinds of questions that I think are necessary to move us in the right direction. The Job Shit Show is brought to you by me and my company, Great Mondays, a change consultancy helping leaders of private companies elevate how their teams operate in an AI-driven work world. Learn more about my work at greatmondays.com. Subscribe to the Job Shit Show on Substack. If you like this episode, send it to a friend. If you're really into it, I would love you to rate and review wherever you listen to your podcasts. It really helps other people find the show. And that's really meaningful to me. The shit show continues next week. Talk to you then.